Amen. We do appreciate our young people. We appreciate the beautiful song this morning. They did a marvelous job singing it. And thank you all so very much. I did mean to say also that I enjoyed being up at Faith Church and the revival up there and working with Brother Todd Fugate. Of course, he was baptized and ordained here, and he's been up there pastoring for quite a while, and enjoyed his preaching up there. And it's just good to have fellowship, you know, one with another. And I want to thank those of you who supported us up there. We had, I think we had people from Fairview Memorial up there every night throughout the revival. And I want to thank you for that support. Anyone have anything you want to say before I begin? Yes. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're so glad to have you come. And occasionally you do miss, and I miss you when you're not here. I really do. And so we appreciate this. Anyone else with a word? All right. Amen. God bless you. Let's remember this request. Amen. Anyone else with a word? I'm trying to decide whether I want to say what I want to say before I preach or after I preach. But you know, I don't mean to ride this horse to death. But, you know, we're going to be going through a transition period pretty soon. And I want to encourage all of you to come to church regularly and faithfully. You know, sometimes people get divided at a time like this, and we certainly don't need that in this time, in this era that we're living in right now. God's people need to be united, and they need to be bound together, and they need to support one another and hold one another up, you know. And I just want to encourage you. Make church your number one priority, will you? Just, you know, the Bible says, you know, let love be without dissimulation. Don't let anything or anybody come between you and the Lord and the church where you worship God. It's just really important. And I don't know why, but that was really pressing on me. I felt like I needed to say that. And having said that, I want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture that's going to be found in the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelations. I'm going to begin at verse 7, I guess. Verse 7. And I'm going to read down through verse 17. Now, some of this verse 7 and verse 12 and 13 and verse 16 are the words of Jesus. And the other was written by John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's all truth. It's all truth. Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showeth me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. These are the words of Jesus. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'm going to stop there. I could read more, but I feel like I need to stop there. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. And I want to use as my subject today, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Of course, this invitation that I read in your hearing is the last invitation of the Bible that was recorded in the Bible. There have been many invitations given since this was written. I myself, over the years, have given thousands of invitations. I have the authority to do that because the Bible said, let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come, and take of the water of life freely. And so, not only did the Lord Jesus extend the invitation for people to come to him and be saved, but he gave the church that he established the authority to extend the invitation to whosoever will. And the invitation is, let him come, you know, let him come, not to the preacher, but let him come to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who has the authority and the power to save. And so these invitations have been going out over the years. And many people have heeded those invitations. And they've come to the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad that I heard the invitation one time. Not just from the preacher, and not just from the people that attended the church we were going to. But I heard the invitation in my heart from the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit made me aware that I needed to be saved. And he bid me come to Jesus. And I came, and I found that he would do just what he said he would do. He will forgive. You know, in the Matthew, I believe it's chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus himself speaking while he was here on the earth. And he was walking among men, and there were no doubt a multitude of people who heard him make this invitation. Because the Bible said that multitudes came out to hear him and multitudes followed him. And they came to hear what he had to say. And this is what he said to them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he said, you shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so Jesus gave that invitation. Now there are many other invitations in the Bible. And I want to just refer to some of them. They are worded in different ways. But I want to just share some of them with you. And Moses, while he was leading the children of Israel, he said to his father-in-law, come thou with us. We're going to a land that the Lord hath given to us or promised to us. Won't you come and go with us, and we'll do you good. Now, Abraham, he talked about that land that the Lord had promised them. He said, here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one to come. And he said, we are pilgrims and strangers here in this world. And he said, we don't have a permanent dwelling place here in this world. All of us have nice homes, I'm sure. And we live in perhaps more comfort than most people in the world. And we have it easier. Brother Sampson was talking this morning about how good it might have been if sin had not entered into the world. Everything had been perfect if sin hadn't entered in. But even in spite of that, we still, as the people of God and the people who live in the United States of America, we have it a lot better than most of the world. Abraham, he said, here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one to come, He said that they were seeking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we call that place heaven. There is a heaven, God, His dwelling place is heaven. He inhabits the entire earth, of course. But the Bible teaches us that heaven is His throne. And the earth is His footstool. And God has made it possible for people to come to heaven. And so we issue the invitation just like Moses did to his father-in-law. He said, we're going to a place that God has promised us. A land that God has promised us. And you come and go with us. And if you will, we'll do you good. It'll be good for you. I tell you, there's nothing in the world that's better than being saved and having the knowledge of salvation and having the assurance in your heart that when you take your last breath, that your spirit's going to move out of your body and it's going to the place called heaven, the land that Jesus said, I go to prepare for you. And he said, if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you also may be also. Don't you want to go? There's an old song they used to sing around the altar when I was a child. Don't you want to go? And it talked about heaven. And today I want to ask you, don't you want to go? Surely everybody wants to go to heaven. And we read in the Bible, In the Old Testament, the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. We call Isaiah the Gospel of Isaiah. And we call it that because he holds forth the Lord Jesus. as the Savior of the world. He describes Him, you know, as the one who was smitten and who was afflicted. He was the one whom the Bible said the Lord laid on the iniquities of us all. He's the one that Isaiah said He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shares is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. And so He wrote that 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, you know, as though it had already taken place. And it was some 600 years, I believe, before Jesus was born into the world. But you see, God had this plan from before the foundation of the world, that Jesus would come and die and pay the sin debt for us, that He would ransom our souls, that He would suffer the consequences of sin, that He would die so that we could live. And so Isaiah the prophet, he said in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah and in verse 18, he said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know what that invitation that Isaiah gave was? He said that regardless of how great a sinner you may have been, you know, we're all sinners. And we all come short of the glory of God. And we all need salvation, regardless. Some people are more moral than others are. Some people are really wicked. Some people are criminals, you know. But even those who are morally good people need salvation. And even if you've been a real bad person, the Lord still invites you to come. He said, "Come, though your sins be as scarlet. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, that invitation was given over 600 years before Jesus was born. But it was efficacious at that time. It was just as good that day as it is today. Because you see, Jesus Christ, He stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. It wasn't, you know, an afterthought with God. It wasn't after Adam had sinned, God said, "Oh my goodness, I have to do something," you know. Oh no, the plan had already been made. And Jesus stood even then as a Savior ready to reach down and forgive sin and to save to the uttermost all that would come unto Him. That same prophet Isaiah, he said in the another portion of the Word of God, 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the first verse he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Come ye without money and without price." He said, "Why do you spend your money for that which satisfieth not?" He said, "Come to the Lord." And I can't quote it like I once did. But anyway, I want to just turn over here and get this because I think it is important for me to do so. He said, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" He said, "Hearken diligently unto me." Listen, he said, listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you, he said, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now, you know, we feed our bodies and you know, we have plenty in America, you know. We are known as the land of plenty, you know. God has blessed us. He surely has. But you see, there's a part of you that needs something, you know, in addition to what you put in your body. You have a soul. Your soul is eternal. Your soul is going to live even after your body dies. And your soul needs to be given life. It needs to be given eternal life. And so Isaiah invites people to come. And he said, incline your ear. Pay attention, he said. That's what he's saying. Pay attention. He said, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. You know, we all want to live as long as we can. But listen, if you live as long as Methuselah lived, and your soul has not been made alive, you're going to die eternally. And that's, I hate to say that, but it's true. It's true. He said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Do you know when you get saved, you know, the Lord makes an everlasting covenant with you. He said, I'll forgive your sins and your iniquities. I will remember no more. He said, you won't need anybody to say no to the Lord because you'll know Him. You'll know Him for yourself, you see. And so these are just some of the invitations. What a wonderful thing that in all ages, God's invitation has been offered, you know. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. I want to think about a couple of parables that Jesus gave. One of them is called the parable of the king's supper. You know, he made a supper for his king, for his son, the king, and he sent out invitations to come. You know, come to the marriage supper of the king. Now, God, you know, Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. You know, and one of these days, the Lord's church is going to be presented to the Lord Himself, to Jesus, the bridegroom. And so, invitations have been going out. Come to the marriage supper of the king. They're still going out. The marriage hadn't taken place. The bride, you know, isn't complete yet. The bride of Christ is made up of all these little independent churches, scriptural churches, that are scattered all over the world. We've never been assembled in one body yet. You know, we have different locations, and we hold forth the gospel, and we send out the invitation. Get ready! Get ready! One day, the marriage of the king's son is going to take place. You're invited. Make preparations to go. Well, the Bible said that they rejected. Those that were invited rejected the invitation. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 22 just for a moment and share this passage of Scripture with you. Matthew chapter 22. And it said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. Now, this is a comparison. We understand marriages. We understand the bride, the groom choosing the bride. And we understand them being united in marriage. And so, he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to this. And he said, the king made a marriage for his son, the Lord Jesus. You know, this represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent forth his servants and he said, call them that were bidden. The wedding, come to the wedding. But they would not come. You know, there's been a world of people. They've heard the invitation, you know. Come to Jesus. you know, and they've rejected it. You know, Jesus came to his own, to the Jews. He came to them first, his own people. And he offered them salvation. And they rejected him. Rejected him. Turned him away. Would not believe on him. Did not believe on him. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You would not. It's a serious thing to refuse the invitation from God. You know what happened to them? Jesus said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. They rejected him. It wasn't that he rejected them, but they rejected him. But anyway, he said, you go tell them. He said, go again. I've never got tired of preaching the gospel. I've never got tired of inviting people to come to Jesus. Go again. Tell them again. And he said, again he went forth. I sent forth other servants. He's had men of God holding forth the word of God and preaching the gospel in all generations. You know, Jesus, or God himself, preached the gospel to Adam and Eve. And then the Bible said that Jesus preached the gospel to Abraham. And then all of those prophets, you know, and all of those apostles, and all of those churches down through the years. Tell them again. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. You know, God has made preparation. The sacrifice was made. It wasn't an animal sacrifice, but it was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. He gave himself as a ransom for our souls. And so they made light of it. Oh, listen. Brother Meredith talked a while ago about his dad being an agnostic. I pray God will touch his heart. I pray that he'll show him that there is a real, true, and a living God. And I pray that he'll put his faith and trust in him. But there are a lot of people in the world that make light of the gospel. You know, they make light of the sacrifice that Jesus made and all of that sort of thing. But I'm telling you today, it's real. It's real. And so they rejected. And so you know what the king said? This is what he said. Well, that's in another scripture I'll get in just a minute. But listen, he said the king, he said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the wedding, or to the marriage. And they went out, and as many as they could find that would come, they invited them to come. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in, he found one man that didn't have on a wedding garment. Now you may think sometime, you know, that you'll make it in all right without, you know, having this experience of salvation. But I'm telling you, you won't. That's where you get your wedding garment. When you get saved, you're clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And you can't make it in, you know, wearing your old garments that are tainted with sin. They have to be, you have to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. And this one, you know, somehow, and I believe this is in here for a purpose. I believe this is to show if you don't have on the wedding garment, you're not going to make it in. And it said this, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. And so he said unto him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You're not going to have anything, no answer at all to give when you stand before the Lord. And he said, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's another example too. If I'm not careful, I'll preach too long. But I want you to notice over in Luke chapter 14. There's another parable over there, and that's another example. Another illustration is what it is. In the 15th chapter, in the 14th chapter, in the 15th verse, Jesus said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent out his servants, and to say unto them, come, for all things are ready. And they went up with one consent. No, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The verse said, I bought a piece of ground and I can't come. I got to go see this ground that I have purchased. The next one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go prove them. And he said, have me excused. Just excuse me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Another excuse. They made excuses. Excuses. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house was angry. You've heard about the anger of the Lord, haven't you? You know, Jesus said this. He said, whosoever believeth on the Son hath life, and whosoever believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath. And God does have an anger, you know. And so he said, they made their excuses, you know, and they wouldn't come. And it made the king angry. And so he called his servants and he said, I want you to go out. And I want you to go into the streets and lanes of the city. And all that you can find, I want you to bid them to come. And the servants went out as he had done, and yet there was room. You know, he came first to the Jews. They rejected him. He turned to the Gentiles. And you know, the gospel's been going to the Gentile nations of the world. It's still going to the Jews too, folks. But listen, the gospel's still going out. And we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven how many people's there. I believe we will. I believe we'll just be, we just blow our minds to think of the mercy and love and grace of the Lord Jesus. And how many people have heeded the invitation to come. But anyway, still there's room. Heaven's not full yet. There's a place, you know. Jesus said, I'll go prepare a place for you. I tell you, there's room at the cross. There's room for everyone that will heed the invitation and come to the Lord Jesus. And there's room. There is room. I could go on. There are other invitations in the Bible. I thought about old King Agrippa, you know. He got an invitation from a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner. He was not only physically a prisoner, he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. He was a servant of the Lord. And he was working for the Lord, even though he was bound with fetters. And he appeared before this old king, you know. And he gave him an invitation to get right with God. And you know what Agrippa said? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, almost. Now I want to tell you tonight, friend, you may believe everything I've said, but if you haven't trusted in Jesus, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Being almost persuaded is not good enough. You have to put your complete faith and trust in Jesus. You have to just surrender your will to His will. You have to look to Him and just depend on Him and trust in Him for the salvation of your soul. So I'm going to close. But somehow I felt like I needed to go over this with you today. I'm sure you've heard it before. But you know, according to the lessons that I have brought forth tonight, He's still saying, go tell them again. Go tell them again. And I'm not tired of telling them again. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be saved. I want you to be prepared and ready. Because one of these days, Jesus is going to descend from heaven. And you know what? We're going to lose gravitation. We're just going to float off the earth. And we're going to meet Jesus in the air. The graves are going to burst open. And I'm talking about those that are saved, folks. The graves are going to burst open. And they're going to come out of the graves with glorified bodies. And we're going to be instantly changed. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to be changed. That's what the Bible said. And we're just going to lose gravitation. And we're going up into the air. And we're going to meet Jesus up there. And the saints of all the ages are going to be with Him. You say, that can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. And it's going to happen. He's going to bring them with Him. Those that have died in the Lord. He's going to bring them with Him. And we're going to rise and we're going to meet Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, what about those that are not prepared? Well, they're going to rise. But they're going to have corruptible bodies. Corruptible bodies. Their bodies are going to be fitted and fashioned for eternity, but not the blissful eternity that the saints of God are going to have. They're going to have an eternity of everlasting condemnation and destruction. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said. So why wouldn't I, knowing this, why wouldn't I plead with you? And why wouldn't I beg you, please, heed the invitation. Come to Jesus. Get everything fixed up with the Lord. And then you'll be ready when the time comes. God help you today to come to the Lord. Brother Wayne, let's have a song. I feel like I need to extend the invitation one more time. I'm representing Jesus. You say, well, you don't look like Him. I know it, and I don't act like Him either. I know that. There's a lot of difference between me and Jesus. But He called me one day to be His representative. He wanted me to represent Him. I'm His ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm not bragging. I didn't choose that. He did. And I've been saying all these years, in His stead, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Make peace with God. That's what it means. Make peace with God. If you don't have peace with God today, let me invite you on behalf of the Lord Jesus and on behalf of this church and on my behalf, make peace with God. Seek the Lord. Get saved. Be the best thing you ever done. Best thing you ever did. You'll enjoy it while you're living. And then when you come time to die, you'll be like old Lazarus, the old beggar. He lived in a diseased body, didn't have anything. But I tell you, when he died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. He was taken to that country that Abraham was looking for. That country, Moses, that invitation represented. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. While we're standing, while we're singing.
321. 321.
All right. All right. All right, just a minute, Brother Wayne. Sister Susan wanted to say something. Amen. God, yeah. Amen. God bless you. All right, Brother Wayne.
321.